Hey everybody, welcome to this next episode of Wolf's Lair. So in this episode, we're going to talk a little bit about cybersecurity and how important it is in today's day and age, especially with our kids all making use of the internet for learning from home, etc. I think it's become more and more important for us to take internet security seriously. It's not just viruses that we need to be concerned with nowadays. It's also the whole pedophiles and all the other nonsense that comes along with the internet. So I'm just going to chat a little bit about ways of ensuring that you keep your family safe on the internet. And of course, if you run a business, you can keep your business safe from hackers and prying eyes. So there's a couple of things you need to make sure that you have and that you look at when it comes to securing your network. So what we're going to do is we're going to start from the beginning about the possible security risks that a lot of companies face with using the internet and having the internet accessible from their office or from their home, depending where you work. We're just going to chat a little bit about those security risks, and then we're going to go into more detail about how to mitigate and secure against those risks. So let's dive straight in. So in the beginning, with setting up a firewall solution, let's just take, for example, on a home network. What are the things you need to think about? What are the things that you are wanting to secure against? Are you just wanting an antivirus / anti-hack solution, or are you actually wanting to filter your family, possibly your kids, from certain contents on the internet? Most children don't really understand the risks on the internet. They think, it's just there and it's available and it's policed, when it actually isn't. The police on the internet is basically the owner of the network that you're connecting to. So it's always best that you try and implement the best security you can on your private networks. So let's say, for example, you've got a child who is young and you want to filter them from possible risks and possible negative information or pornography or whatever the case may be on the internet. How would you go about doing that? Well, this totally depends on how technically proficient your child is with IT technology. So if they understand networking, there's always going to be workarounds for a lot of the things that you do. So it comes down to having to set up something that is going to keep them secure and going to keep them out where you don't want them to be. You could do DNS filtering, such as OpenDNS, but this can be circumvented if you have a child that is clued up with networking and how DNS works, etc., which isn't the case in most cases, but trust me, you do get them. When I was a young child, I understood more about computers and the internet than in anybody in my family. I managed to do a lot of things and get by on a lot of security that was put in place for me. Now, understanding all of that, I also understand that there are ways to mitigate these things, using firewalls and such like that. So you need to do a plan of action, what it is you're wanting to achieve and how you're going to achieve it. So start with that. You want to block your child from getting to dodgy sites. You want to protect against viruses and ransomware and whatever else is out there nasty on the internet. How would you go about doing that? Step one, DNS. Every request you make for a website goes through DNS, and DNS is categorized. So you can basically tell it to block pornography, social media, whatever you want, based on DNS, such as OpenDNS, which has a free option available. Using that now as your DNS resolvers, you can then set up a dynamic DNS update client for OpenDNS, which can then update your IP if you've got dynamic IPs. If you've got a static IP, even easier, you just set that up within the environment and it'll monitor traffic coming from your IP address and apply the filtering to the DNS resolution as you would have selected. So the way that works is you make a request for www.facebook.com. Facebook is classified as social media by OpenDNS. Your computer then talks to that first DNS server, which in this case you're going to have set up as your OpenDNS, and the second is OpenDNS. But let's say you're pushing DHCP, the two OpenDNS servers, to your clients, your computers. That is then going to make a request for www.facebook.com to the OpenDNS servers. OpenDNS servers are going to say, hang on, that's blocked. I'm going to throw back a page to say that's blocked. You cannot get to it. Alternatively, if it isn't on the allowed list, then it will say, okay, it's allowed. The IP address is this, go. Now, this is where the security shortfall comes in. if you understand about DNS, you can manually import DNS settings into your computer to bypass that. But if you understand basics of Windows 10 security and how Windows and Macs work, you can actually lock that to the OpenDNS servers. Or in many cases, the better way, if you have an understanding of routing or Mikrotik or firewalls, is you actually block DNS requests to from leaving your network. So LAN to WAN, you block DNS requests. You turn your router into a DNS resolver or a DNS forwarder if you're running pfSense. You can then basically get your device to make use of the OpenDNS servers as the forwarding point, but they are the DNS, your actual router is your or firewall is your DNS resolver for your network. Now, why is this more secure? Because you cannot now go and manually put 8888 or 1111 into your DNS on your computer, because it's not going to be able to reach out to those IP addresses. So DNS 53, ports 53 is not allowed out of your network. All DNS resolution has to happen on your router itself. Your router can ask externally for DNS updates from the OpenDNS servers, but it cannot allow PCs to access out on DNS. So that's a nice secure way of dealing with that, and that makes OpenDNS work very, very well. I have that implemented. The next step is Google Safe Search. So what a lot of people have found is you block a category of sites on OpenDNS, yet if somebody goes to Google Search and searches porn pictures, for example, you can still see a bunch of naked pictures of people doing all sorts of things. So the way to block that now is you need to include Google's Safe Search. And again, this is where the DNS comes into play. So on pfSense, for example, you have your DNS forwarder. And in your DNS forwarder, which is sending to OpenDNS, you can actually implement almost a DNS injection. You can put a static host entry in there, telling it if somebody goes to google.com or whatever the case may be, that it's forced to go to the IP address of the Google Safe Search server. That way, if somebody does a Google search for pornography, they are going to get the Safe Search. The Safe Search does not allow those sort of things, so it blocks kids from accessing dodgy things. So that takes care of a lot of your internet stuff. But now what about applications on the App Store, for example? How do you control those things on Android tablets? For example, Facebook on Android uses a different method of connecting to the internet, etc. So your DNS doesn't always work too well with this. So this is where things like the Google Families comes into play, where you can actually implement what they're allowed to install and not allowed to install on their tablets. You can almost get an approval. So the way it works is very brilliant. Like, let's say, for example, my daughter wants to install an application. She selects it in the App Store, selects install. I get a message on the little app on my phone saying she wants to install XYZ. I can review it. If it's safe, allow. I can also set limits, time limits on applications. I can switch applications allowed on or off at will. And I can lock the tablet at certain times automatically or manually if they need a timeout. So there's a lot of options available for strictly controlling internet and device usage nowadays. So this is the basics of if you wanted to set up a home network. Now, for a pfSense firewall, what do you need? You can either use an old device, such as an older firewall, which is PC hardware, and you can then install the pfSense image on it and then use that as a firewall, or alternatively, an older computer. Install two network cards in it, one for WAN, one for LAN, then you have your firewall. What I've found works quite nice is these small mini PCs, like the Intel Nooks. Just need a Celeron, something basic. You can then pop it's got normally a single gigabit Ethernet port. You need a second one, so you can then pop a USB 3 gigabit Ethernet port onto that, and you've actually got your WAN to LAN and a perfect little pfSense firewall that works very well. In my case, I'm using a GateProtect firewall, a large device that has been retasked to pfSense, and it works very well. So pretty much any hardware that is PC compatible, you could use as a pfSense firewall and install pfSense on it. Obviously, there's other options if you want to out-of-the-box solution, such as Mikrotik. Mikrotik can do pretty much everything I've spoken about, but it is a little bit more of a steep learning curve for those that are not familiar with routing and switching. So I don't recommend MiCritic for beginners unless you are wanting to tackle that steep learning curve. PFSense, however, is more graphical driven. It's easier to understand. Everything is very straightforward, and there is a lot of documentation on it. I guess there's a lot of documentation on MiCritic as well, but there is a lot more on PFSense and how you can implement these things. I will be posting a YouTube vlog on how to set up a PFSense firewall with open DNS and blocking of DNS externally, etc. So it's actually not to block it. You don't want to outright block DNS leaving the network. You just want to redirect it. That's a better word for it. So you can block it. So that's one method. The better method is just to redirect all DNS queries to your internal resolver so they don't leave the network. But there's multiple ways of tackling these things. And obviously, not every solution works in every circumstance. So you need to do a bit of planning, and you can easily set this thing up. Unfortunately, the kids nowadays have got access to all sorts of technology which wasn't available when we were children, and we need to understand the risks involved with this technology and how to control that risk. Risk is not something you want to play with. These things do affect kids psychologically, so you do want to keep some control over them, and you do also want to allow them some freedom, but freedom within certain limitations. I mean, when I was 12 years old, I didn't have access to all the dodgy sites that you do nowadays. So you have to actually think about these things and how you can implement them to keep things safe. But that's it for this episode. If you guys have any questions about how to set up a PFSense firewall or a MiCritic firewall or pretty much any other firewall, please do let me know and I will do a tutorial for you on how to do this. It's not as complicated as what you think, and it actually does a very good job at keeping everyone safe. Cheers for now, everybody, and stay safe out there. Just to mention, you also get some fantastic pieces of software nowadays for both computer, tablets, phones, etc., which helps you to secure your child from the internet and from accessing certain things. So the more you implement, the more secure your solution is going to be. So the best idea, like I said, is planning. Plan it, implement it, test it, and then put it to use. Once it's all set up, you'll be glad you did it. It may be a bit of exercise in the beginning to do all of this, but once it's done, you'll be happy you've done it. At least you can rest assured that your child is not being targeted by any dodgy sort of sites or anything like that. Like I said, people don't understand the risk of the internet nowadays, how pedophile networks work, how they catch the kids on the various social media sites, and they pretty much condition them ready for what they would like to do, and the kids think this is the norm. It's not. Guys, keep your family and loved ones safe out there, and rest assured that people are there looking out for you guys. But in some circumstances, like in home networks, you guys have to do some work yourself to make sure that you guys stay safe. Cheers for now.